podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I think I counted 7 seconds there. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I think I did 7 seconds worth of O's. Why do you think I did that? Huh? Why do you think I did 7 seconds worth? Because the Big 12 Conference is a conference of champions, and we have defeated the SEC. We have done it. We have won the SEC Challenge. Congrats to the Big 12 schools who did it. I mean, like, we all knew the Big 12 was the best conference in basketball. Duh. This just proved it. I know last year we won't talk about it. We won't talk about what happened last year. But this year we did it. We won the Big 12 Challenge. And that's the last one. Bye. We won't hear this anymore. SEC! No, we won't. We're not going to hear it anymore. We won, okay? Bow down to us, Greg Sankey. Bow down to us, Eric Musselman, Nate Oates, Calipari. Three of their best coaches said, nope, nope. Big 12. We did it. It was a fun weekend. It was a great weekend. Great weekend for teams who needed a win. Like, a phenomenal weekend. If we talk about the bottom of the conference, huge. I talked about last week my top 10 teams where I was currently power rating them, and the bottom four were Texas Tech, Oklahoma, West Virginia, Oklahoma State. All four got a win. So that proves that this league is that difficult. And I understand they didn't play the best of opponents, but the fact that these teams were rattling off wins, and not only that, but like kind of in decisive manner, like that shows how damn deep this league is. I'm going to get into all these matchups, but before that, I need to air out a grievance, and it's mostly a grievance with myself. I come on this podcast, you know, once or twice a week. I talk. I watch the games. I study this league. I really feel like I have a good grasp on the league. I feel like I have a good grasp of the fan bases, how they feel about their teams. I really do think I know a whole lot about the league. But then again, I also feel like I'm a complete idiot, a dunce. Every single adjective you could have about being an idiot about this league. Because coming into this, I had my top 10. The episode literally before this, if you didn't listen to it, I ranked the Big 12 as we hit the mid-season point of the year. Here's how it goes. Number one, Iowa State. Yeah, they lost to Missouri on the road 78-61. Nobody got hurt that game. Unlike TCU, my number two team, who I just want to say lost to Mississippi State in overtime. But the worst part about that wasn't even the loss. The worst part was you go down and you have Mike Miles injured. And now you have Mike Miles out, Eddie Lampkin out. Your best, like, honestly, like, out of your most important players, your rim protector and the best guard maybe in the entire league besides Marquise Noel right now. A future NBA player in Mike Miles went down with a right knee injury. And that was my number two team in the conference. And I can't say that, you know, I picked the wrong team to be number two. I think TCU is damn good. When healthy, can be the best in the league. But this injury to Mike Miles is really, really concerning. I am sorry to all the TCU fans. That absolutely sucks. Like, this would be like if Jalen Wilson went down for Kansas. Pick the best player on your team, and if they went down, that's what's happening to TCU as soon as they're getting everything together. And then you get a loss on the road. Now, some good news about Mike Miles. He had an MRI. His right knee came back clean, but there's no timetable for him to return. So for a TCU fan, you're kind of in purgatory right now. And I feel bad for you because you guys should be good. But that's where I had. The third place team I had was Kansas State. They had a great weekend. They beat Florida. Keontae Johnson, I thought, was just a great story. They really did a good job understanding the situation that was in hand and making him feel special. It felt like he had a smile on his face the entire time. And also, they win. And it was a good performance all around. There was a lot of questions about you know, can Kansas State rebound? And they did a lot of things. They won the game, and they beat Florida by 14 points. Number four team I had, Baylor. Baylor beats Arkansas, and I am here with me now. I know Baylor's a really good team, but right now, if I had to say which team I like the most, as of right now, the Baylor Bears have just shot to the top. Keontae George, if you haven't watched the end of this game, it is ridiculous, and it's ridiculous because Keontae George just goes off. What he can do offensively is why he is advertised as this draft pick that he is. He is truly incredible. The way he can step back, the way he can score, the way he can shoot. He is defending at a high level. And they have, you know, in this game, they had Langston Love and Jalen Bridges get early fouls, and they paid for it. Because by halftime, Baylor's down six, and I'm thinking, oh boy, that's not very good at all. But they still find a way to do it just because they're so damn good offensively. And that's why I think Baylor right now is like such a damn good team. Because they're deep. They have great scoring. And Jalen Bridges is proving to be that kind of versatile player who can get you some stops. Who can get you some key rebounds. He can steal the ball as well. He is so good at his role. He knows his role. He plays it well. And right now, if they continue to go how they're doing and they get Jonathan Chamwechachua back, watch out for the Baylor Bears. But they are my number four team. I underrated them. But that's really the point of this exercise, is that the top six teams in this league are just incredible. And when we get to number five, I was very harsh. And the one that I felt the most bad about was the Texas Longhorns, because I had them number five in my power rankings. They go and lose to Tennessee. You know, I thought they were going to lose that game. It's an incredibly hard environment to be in. And also, Tennessee is really damn good defensively. And you still score 71 points. That's great, but you also gave up 82. And the starters did not play, like, very well. Marcus Carr, only 11 points. If Marcus Carr is only getting you 11 points, you're not going to win if you're the Texas Longhorns, just because this team doesn't have the scoring starting-wise that you need. Like, Timmy Allen can get you some buckets, but he's never going to be like he can't carry that, and he only had 6 points in this game. Tyrese Hunter, I don't know what is happening with Tyrese Hunter. I know he's good, but he is not filling it up at all, and he's shooting kind of poorly. If we go to his stats, 39 from the field, not bad, 27%. 31% from 3-point. He's averaging only 10 points a game, less than what he did his freshman year. I understand there's other scorers on Texas, but like, I really thought he would take another leap. And maybe he's just young and growing, and this league is like, has good guard play and good defense, so I should understand. But what's happening to Tyrese Hunter is very strange. But the player that I absolutely love in this conference, one of my favorite players, led the team in scoring, Serge Ibaka-Rice with 21 points. Look, this loss, it doesn't make me worried about the Texas Longhorns as well, but it also just kind of, you know, it kind of stamped some things I have about them. The metrics love the Texas Longhorns. They absolutely love them. But when I look at the other teams in the conference, Texas doesn't do necessarily anything elite or anything to the level like, oh, damn. Like, I look at Kansas, and I know, oh, you call Kansas dead. Well, here's what Kansas can do. Is they have a guy named Jalen Wilson and Grady Dick. Texas is good as a team. They're deep. One of the deepest and longest teams in the league, but they do not do anything special or elite. You look at Kansas State. They have other scorers as well that are, I would say, more reliable than what I have right now in the Texas Longhorns. You look at Baylor. They obviously have better scoring than Texas. So, like, yeah, Texas, really good team. An elite eight type of team. They have the length. They have good coaching. Rodney Terry is doing one hell of a job. And they have the players that can, you know, they have a good 8-9-man rotation that you can trust. Also, another thing about Texas that I didn't necessarily talk about my last episode, and I was kicking myself about it all weekend. They're 6-2 in conference play. Very good. Tied for the best in the entire league. But who have they played? Oklahoma, Kansas State, they lost. Oklahoma State, two of the four worst teams in the conference. TCU, you win. Great win. Texas Tech, you win. They suck. Iowa State, loss. West Virginia, Oklahoma State wins. So you haven't played Kansas yet, and you haven't played Baylor. And what do I make of that? Like, yeah, you went 6-2, but you also won it against what we call the bottom of the league. But I'm going to give them the benefit of doubt. You had your head coach gone, and yet you still found a lot of success. But I am not going to believe that the Texas Longhorns are among the elite or the best in the Big 12 right now. And the loss to Tennessee does not change my opinion of them. It's more like cements, like, yeah, I get it. But Tennessee is really damn good, but that's the point. Texas should be winning these games. like if Texas is as good as advertised, they can win those games. And they were close, but they didn't necessarily do it. They fought hard in the second half. But that's it. My sixth place team is the Kansas Jayhawks. And last week, I got a lot of people mad at me. How could you say Kansas is dead? How could you do it? I get it. Kansas is good. They have the best player in the entire league right now, Jalen Wilson. I said Markieston Well was the Big 12 player of the year. I said that as my midseason, but like, if I were to rather pick a player on my team, it would be Jalen Wilson. I just want to give Markieston Well some credit for being the stud that he is and the stats he's doing, because I don't want that to get lost. But Jalen Wilson is just incredible. And I did not see this game going this way. I picked Kentucky to win it. And it was mostly because I thought Oscar Tshiebwe was going to be more dominant. I did not think he was only going to shoot the ball 9 times. I thought literally, if I was John Calipari, it would have been every play is Oscar Tshiebwe inside the paint, post up, try to make something. He's a good passer too. Oscar Tshiebwe with 4 assists. Like that would have been my plan, and I think that would have hurt them. Another player that has continually stepped up this year besides Jalen Wilson has been KJ Adams Jr. And he was aggressive. He was very, very aggressive in this game, going after Oscar Tshiebwe, finishing 8 for 10 from the field, 17 points. Like, thank you. Like, that is what I want. Like, I don't want the Kansas Jayhawks to suck. They've been my favorite team to root in this entire league. And all the K-State fans just drove off the road or wherever you're listening to this. I want Kansas to be good. Because if Kansas is good, the league gets even more recognition than it does now. And also, I think it gives more fuel for every team to go and try and beat them. I like the Kansas Jayhawks. I am just said, these are the things that I'm seeing, and it's bad. And now you get a great win on the road against a Kentucky team that's a little sus to me, but they're 11-2 at home after this game. You go into a tough environment. You get a good win when you are reeling. You had 3 straight losses. Fun fact, Bill Self has never lost 4 straight games at Kansas. I should have believed that statistic. But now we're starting to see this team kind of, you know, take a little bit more chances, I would say that. Dwan Harris Jr., you had 8 points. I've been asking for it. I've been preaching for it. You shot the ball 8 times. You made two 3-pointers. My God. A player that needed to step up, Kevin McCullough Jr., against a huge opponent where Kansas does not necessarily have bench depth. Even though Uda Jr. on the bench, I thought, did some good. Like, he did his role. You know, you have to have a body against Oscar Tshiebwe at all times. I thought he did his role. I thank God they did not play Zach Clements, because I hate watching him play. My least favorite player to watch in this whole league, because he's just bad. And I just felt like this was a really good win for Kansas. Do I still think they're the best in the league right now? Talent-wise, yes. Jalen Wilson, Grady Dick, huge. KJ Adams Jr. is becoming one of the best bigs in the league, and especially if Eddie Lampkin is down, that's huge for them. Kevin McCullough stepped up. Dwan Harris stepped up. This needs to be consistent. But the road does not get any easier for the Kansas Jayhawks. So when I say Kansas is dead, great. You got a good win in the SEC Challenge. It should mean a lot. Is Kentucky one of the best teams in the SEC right now? No. But that's a huge win on the road. Blue blood versus blue blood. Calipari versus Bill Self. So many things that add on the line, and you did it. And last year, they boat raced you at home. Boat raced. But here's your next 3 stretch of games. Home for Kansas State. we know what last game was. That was an absolute classic and a half. This has a chance to be the same thing, and you are at home. If you can get a win there, I may start to eat my words. But then after that, at Iowa State, I understand Iowa State lost, but to me, they have been the biggest surprise in the Big 12 besides Kansas State. Gabe Kalscher is finding it. Jaron Holmes is finding it. That team is good and deep and amazing defensively in Hilton Coliseum. And then you face Texas. I understand what I said about Texas. They still are good. They still are long. They still can disrupt the Kansas Jayhawks. And that's been their weakness. When they play long teams, it has not gone well. And they have good guard play, which Baylor torched them on. They do not have the shooter like LJ Cryer or Adam Flagler, or even, but they do have Sir Jabari Rice. I feel like I have to say that like a royalty. Sir Jabari Rice. Hello, sir. Hello, Sir Jabari Rice. Sorry. where was I? Yeah, so those are the teams the next three games where I'm like, okay, Kansas, if you can rattle off one or two wins here, maybe I was wrong. Jalen Wilson, though, by far the best player in the league. If you're like, I played pickup basketball over the weekend, and I would say I'm decent, but like when it comes to if there's two captains and they're picking, I'm like the third or fourth player picked on a team. Sometimes I'm picked like the fifth man on a team, but I'm 6'2". I don't have the balls really to go and dribble inside. I just don't have that gene in me, and I wish I did. I wish I had the confidence to go in and just, like, finish on people. But my role is easy. I'm 3-D. Great shooter. I'm long defensively. I'm 6'2", and I usually end up guarding, like, the second guard or one of their bigger wings. My point to that, I was just really bragging about myself, sir, for a second. In this podcast, I just, you know, I haven't given a chance to talk about myself. I'm just going to do that. I play pickup basketball. My point. Jalen Wilson, if we were to play 5-on-5 and we were to have two captains, the first pick will always be to Jalen Wilson in this entire league. And he's proven that time and time again. Same with Zach Edey for conference, not conference, college player of the year. It's between those two. And if Jalen Wilson can continue what he's doing, good. And Grady Dick is finding himself right now. I swear. He has the best hands out of anyone I've ever seen. And defensively, he is not a joke. If you can have all five players on the team be good defensively, Kansas is going to be a problem. But I am not buying it yet just because I've seen what happened the last couple of games. Foul trouble to someone, that's a problem. You have to rely on your bench, that's a problem. One or two of your third or fourth option scorers don't have a good night, huge problem. Tuan Harris doesn't shoot the ball and, you know, does his little thing where he just is being passive, not good. So I had Kansas as my sixth ranked team in the Big 12 rankings. That's the thing. Like, if I were to ask a question now, who is the best team in the Big 12? Like, I don't want to get too high on the SEC challenge supply right now. There's a drug in sports. It's called hopium. You get too much hope on one thing and then they just let you down. So as the rankings are right now, let's just go by record. Best record in the league is Kansas State, 18-3. Are they the best team in the Big 12? Let me make the case for it. I'm going to make the case for all of these teams. Kansas State. Best point guard in the league right now, especially if Mike Miles is out. He is incredible. You have Marquise Noel, who has just been this incredible score distributor. You have great depth. You have Keontae Johnson, and Jerome Tang is coaching incredibly. That's the case for Kansas State, who has the second best record in the league. It's tied. Texas and Kansas. I would pick Kansas over Texas. But is Kansas right now the best team in the Big 12? The case for them is that you have the best players right now. You have Jalen Wilson. You have Grady Dick. Grady Dick is not the second best player in the league, but he has potential to do some amazing things. He is one of the best raw prospects. And if he was a senior right now, he is a true freshman. If he was a senior, we'd all be like, this is the Stetson Bennett of college basketball. Get out of here. You're way too good. Please leave. Also, Stetson Bennett, yeah, maybe you should have, you know, not done what you did over the weekend, if you know what I'm talking about. Then who is next? You have TCU and Baylor tied for 16-5. I'm going to count TCU out right now just because injuries sucks. It's not because I think they're bad. It is legitimately because you have a major injury. And I'm just not going to bet on a team that doesn't have Mike Miles right now. Baylor. What is the case for Baylor? Incredible offense. You have Scott Drew as your head coach, which I think we kind of take for granted. That game against Arkansas was a boxing match. And who kept delivering blows? Keontae George. If you can have legitimately three elite scorers, you have LJ Cry, you have Adam Flagler, who is an underrated distributor, and you have Keontae George, who is just really finding himself right now. He is dangerous. Like, he is, like, it is so difficult being a true freshman in this league just because everyone is so damn old and good and strong and physical. And he just has this motor, like, this year has really raised the stock of Keontae George. Like, without him, Baylor would just be okay. He is so damn good. And right now, like, if I were to just magically pick a team to win the Big 12, right now I think the chips would go to Baylor, and I don't think you listening at home disagree with that. I don't think you do. Because you look at them and you go, oh, you got some things that can kill us, and you're rolling right now. They've won their last six games. Do you want to know the other biggest winning streak in this conference right now? West Virginia at 2. That just shows this league, man, this league. I'm used to, like, thinking, like, oh, there's going to be Kentucky every year. There's going to be a team that just, like, goes undefeated most of the way. There's going to be a Baylor. No, man. The least amount of wins this league is Kansas State at 3, and that is definitely not going to stay. I'm sorry, K-State fans. If you go undefeated the rest of the year, you're winning a national title. You're not going to go undefeated in the rest of Big 12 play. But here's the thing. Kansas State beats Kansas tomorrow on the road. I have to give it to them. That's the thing. It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating kind of pick who's the best in this team. I say it's Iowa State. They poop the bed. I think it's TCU. Mike Miles goes out. I say Kansas is dead. They beat Kentucky. I can't do it with this league, man. I love watching it, but I feel so stupid all the time. What the hell? Thank you for letting me blow some steam. My anger management coach really appreciates you guys being a good ally and letting me do that for you guys. So now I want to talk about the other four teams that played. And I really did bury the lead of this podcast because the greatest thing in this league happened to one of these teams. And I'm calling a new segment, and I hope you enjoy this. It's called the Big 12 Bubble Watch.
Bubble watch. So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yes! The Big 12 Bubble Watch. I made that. That's what I do in my head. I make dumb stuff like that when I'm bored. So the Big 12 Bubble Watch. Right now, Joe Lunardi has 7 Big 12 teams making it. The 7th team that he has is West Virginia. I don't want to get to West Virginia right now, but the metrics seem to absolutely love them. They're currently 20th in KenPom, 22nd in offense, 42nd in defense, which is crazy to me because out of all the Big 12 teams, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th best, according to the metrics. I don't think they're the 6th best team in the conference, but they deserve right now to be poking in, being one of the 11-12 seeds for the tournament. But the team I really do want to talk about the most is the Oklahoma Sooners. Because before this, a lot of people wanted Porter Mosier's head. I was not there yet. I was like, okay, pump your brakes a little bit. But they were not looking like a very good team at all. Looking 2-6 in the conference, and their wins are against West Virginia and Texas Tech, two of the worst teams in the conference. Now, they played a lot of close games. You lose by 1 to Texas. You lose by 3 to Iowa State. You lose by 4 to Kansas. You lose close to Baylor by 2 points, but then we just had some very, very shocking games. You get destroyed by Oklahoma State and utterly emasculated by TCU. That was bad. So going into this game against number 2 Alabama, just like you at home, I thought they were going to be losing. And they did it. And they did it in such a way that gives a lot of confidence moving forward. Oklahoma can be a tournament team now with this win on their resume. That is massive. Against the number 2 team in the entire country, the best team in the SEC. That just shows how crazy it is. The 9th place team in the Big 12 destroys the 1st place team in the SEC by 24 points. And this was the game I've wanted from him for so long. If you've been on this podcast from day one, you know how I feel about this player. His name is Jalen Hill. I have been begging him, pleading, please, Jalen Hill, I know you're good. I know you're good. Please don't be the 4th or 5th option. Please. And Jalen Hill delivered. 26 points. 9 from 11 from the field. 2 for 2, perfect 2 for 2 from 3-point, 6 from 7 free throws. Jalen Hill, a member of the all-you-want-this-guy-on-your-team team. And he is delivering, he is proving that he can be the second option in about damn time. His 3rd year of Oklahoma, he needs to be doing this. He plays the most minutes. He had to be doing this, and for him to be stepping up like this in the last couple of games is absolutely massive. Because Grant Sheffield is going to get you buckets. He's going to do that for you. But if you can get Jalen Hill rolling as well next to him, massive. Because there's just some games, Tanner Groves, it's just a lot of this. Last game against TCU, 2 points. Game against Baylor, 16, good. Oklahoma State, 4. West Virginia, 8. There's just not a whole lot of consistency on this team besides Grant Sheffield balling all the time. And if you can have Jalen Hill be that second option, be your Grady Dick, be your Keontae Johnson, be that person on your team that can other get you a bucket besides your star, that's massive. And we look at Oklahoma's resume coming forward. They have this win over number 2 Alabama. The story of the SEC Challenge. I buried the lead, but I just want to talk about the rest of the league first. Here are your next 2 games. Oklahoma State, another team that is on the bubble, who is getting some things right now. And out of the teams in the Big 12, those bottom 4 bubble teams, they have the best Big 12 conference record at 3-5. The rest are either 2-6 or you're Texas Tech and you're in a pit of despair at 0-8. That game is massive because if you can get wins against those bottom teams, that builds your resume even more. And then after that, at West Virginia, you have to be beating up on these bubble teams if you're a fan of Oklahoma. You have to be beating up on them. And also, I want to talk directly to the people who wanted to fire Porter Moser. I just want to have a conversation. I don't want to be mad at you. But like, what? If you want to fire Porter Moser, what are you doing? Like, who are you getting that's better? Oklahoma is not a top 15 job. Maybe even a not top 25 job. Their fan base showed that they cared about basketball against Alabama, the number 2 team in the country. But for most games, kind of a poor environment. They stormed the court, the best one they've had in a lot of years. And a lot of people want to say, get Porter Moser out of here. Do you understand who you are? You're not getting a top coach to come to you. You're not poaching the best in college basketball. Look at your history. You take coaches that have had success at a lower level, and you've taken them in. You getting Porter Moser, who has been the absolute like wizard of March Madness, getting a team that has no chance and getting them to have so much success, like you hired a good coach, but you're not getting the top talent. You're not going to get the top transfers. You're not going to have NIL money pouring in for these because, like, why would they invest money in that? You guys don't care. And I said this before, no other team here has a pro team literally about 20 minutes to half an hour away. This is why, like, it's really hard to be good at Oklahoma. And for Porter Moser to get this win, good. Tell those people, oh, I was wrong. Delete the tweet. Porter Moser is a good coach. I've watched this team all year. I understand you've had some frustrating losses. I understand close games. But he is a good coach. I trust him as a person. I know when I watch them, offensively, it's like, okay, I understand, like, this is not where modern basketball should be going. But he's playing how he's playing. It is a different style. I don't know if it's the right style. But Porter Moser is a good coach. And for anyone to be, like, saying, get him out, you're just a Looney Tune. I don't get what you think about the Oklahoma program. This was a great win and a potential tournament team here. And think about it. Like, a week ago, I was saying this team was dead in the water. And now they have a chance to make the tournament. Huge for them. West Virginia, Eric Stevenson, once again. I knew you had it in you. I knew it just took Marcus Smart not being there or you getting frustrated and tearing your jersey. Hey, this is good. Marcus Stevenson against Auburn, Bruce Pearl, at home, they get a win. And Eric Stevenson balled out. 31 points. Absolutely needed. This team is, the metrics love them. I don't know if I necessarily do. Like, that second half against Auburn, they choked this game away. They were choking it. And they still win. Good for West Virginia. Good for them. They should be a tournament team. Eric Stevenson right now proving to be a true scorer. He reminds me a lot of, like, what they had in Sean McNeil about them. But I think a little bit more confident. Here's their next stretch of game, though. Good luck. At TCU. Home for Oklahoma. Okay? That's a winnable game. Home for Iowa State. You can win that game. At Texas. At Baylor. That's a difficult stretch of games. That is a difficult five-game stretch for them, and three of those games are on the road. That's really difficult, especially if West Virginia is trying to gain momentum and be one of those bubble teams that actually make the tournament. That's really, really, really difficult. I have faith in West Virginia, but once again, some of these teams are just going to have to lose. Can they climb out? Like, what is the win total you need to make the tournament, or make the tournament in the Big 12. I think, honestly, 6 wins. If you get 6 or 7 wins, I think you should be a lock just because how deep this league is. And it also helped that all these teams got wins against SEC opponents. I understand all of them aren't tournament teams, but still, wow. Like, much needed for them. West Virginia can definitely be one of those teams that cracks it, but they need to start doing some things. And the last is Texas Tech. I don't even want to entertain it. Huge win against LSU. Huge as in you actually won the game. So huge and then that. It's pretty good when you end an 8-game losing streak. Here are your next stretch of games. Iowa State, at Baylor, at Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Texas. Like, I could say this for every team, that, like, every stretch of games is really hard. But it seems like these are especially hard for the teams at the bottom of the league. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Texas Tech. Davian Harmon had a good game. He needed to. My God. His metrics have just been terrible and just as a whole. Kevin O'Banner had a great game as well. This was a performance I did not see coming from Kerwin Walton. He had not been getting a lot of minutes, but then he starts for Pop Isaacs and gets 17 points. Now, I didn't see the season going as poorly for Texas Tech. It has gone it. I don't want to not root for them. I don't know how, even if you're a fan, you can be like, we have hope and we can make a tournament. I just don't see it right now. They can be the team of chaos that disrupts and ruins the bubble for a lot of others, but I don't know. I don't know what to say about Texas Tech. Wait and see. They are not a tournament team in my mind. So that was the SEC challenge. I thought the Big 12 showed once again how damn good they are at basketball. Bye-bye, SEC. We're not going to miss you. We're going to be just as good, whatever challenge we're going to do down the road. And if we don't, we're going to be awesome, okay? This is not going away. And, yes, Texas is good at basketball right now. Oklahoma showing improvement. When they go, we're not going to miss a whole lot. Because, hey, do you know who's coming in? Houston. And, oh, yeah, the top six teams in the Big 12, five of them are continuing. So, yeah, I buy you guys. I'm not worried about that. So let's look at the slate of games this week. Big Monday, number 17, Baylor takes on number 10, Texas in Austin. This is a huge game. The biggest of the Big Monday because the other game is Iowa State, Texas Tech. And honestly, I don't know what to make of that game. So I'm just going to wait and see. This is a huge game for both teams. If Baylor can get that win, that cements them as, to me, one of the best teams in the conference, unless maybe the best team in the conference, unless Kansas State beats Kansas. And then for Texas, I've said you haven't played, you know, the best of the Big 12 yet. You come off this loss to Tennessee. Can at home, can you get a win against one of the definitely the hottest team in the Big 12 right now? Can you beat them at home and be like, you know what, we are really damn good? That's a big game for them. Tuesday is the game of all games. Kansas State taking on Kansas, the biggest game of the entire week. The game that may be the classic of the season to follow up the classic. This is like Rocky 2, like following Rocky 1, The Godfather 2 to The Godfather, other sequels. That's a huge, huge, huge game. If Kansas wins, I may be eating my words, but if Kansas State wins, crown them. That could be that is your Big 12 title. To me, if Kansas State wins this game, that just is such a statement saying, yeah, we're good. And you get, if it were to ever come to a tiebreaker, you have two wins over Kansas now. That's a huge game. I cannot, where's the bleep? Where is my bleep button? I need the bleep button right now. What the? Why is this game on ESPN Plus? Why? Grow the game. We got to grow the game. No, let's have the best game of the entire season on ESPN Plus. Jesus. Am I supposed to beep for that? No, I don't know. But it's horse. West Virginia takes on TCU. I don't know what to make of this. West Virginia's rolling. TCU has had injuries all up and down the roster right now. To me, that's a game I think West Virginia can go in and steal. I think West Virginia can go in and do that, especially guard-wise. Eric Stevenson can continue what he's doing right now. And they do have bigs on West Virginia. You have Jimmy Bell. You have Trey Mitchell. You can take advantage of this team. TCU's long, but West Virginia is also a little bit long as well. I actually kind of like West Virginia winning that game there. And then on Wednesday, we have Bedlam. Oklahoma State taking on Oklahoma on ESPN2. Can't have the number 5, number 9 team. God, that frustrates me. Just because, why? What business decision is that? The quality of the footage is going to be bad. I'm going back to the ESPN Plus thing. The quality of it's going to be bad. Not the play of the game. I'm saying the quality of what I'm watching with my eyeballs. There's going to be some glitches. Everyone's going to be at a different point watching the game. So when you're on Twitter, you're like, why are you here? Why are you commenting about this? Everything's going to be different. And it's just if you really want to grow the game, you really want to grow the Big 12, you really want to put your marquee games up there, why the hell is this game on ESPN Plus? It is so stupid. You can flex things. We can change things. Why? Why? What? That's the slate of games for this week. But yeah, great week for the Big 12. Amazing games that we have ahead of us. And also just a great performance in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Emphasis, a Big 12 SEC Challenge. Bye. Bye. SEC! Just hear it one more time because you won't hear this really forever at a basketball game again. Yep. Bye. We're not going to miss you. All right. That's another edition of the Midwest Madness Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at MW_MadnessBig12. Please stop what you're doing right now. If you listen to this point of this album, to this point of the podcast, go and rate it 5 stars. Leave a review. Say something nice. Just do whatever. It helps us so much. Tell your friend about this because I really love making this podcast. I want to get you guys involved as well. We're going to have some fun episodes later in this week. But until then, I am out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Peace!
Sports Social Podcast Network.